All right, guys, this episode is sponsored by Herd App Marketing. Now, you've heard us talk about the Herd App media team and all the reasons we chose to work with them and how far the Hollywood Raw podcast has come in the last few months, with much more in the pipeline that we're very excited about. But Herd App Media is only one part of the Herd App organization.
Let us say one of the reasons we chose Herd App, it was their reputation as one of the premier search engine optimization agencies out there. Search optimization, for those of you who don't know, is the practice of optimizing your website, podcast, YouTube views, or anything else to be found as high as possible in the Google search results. Herd App Marketing serves the marketing needs of companies of all sizes, from mom and pop shops to S&P 500 corporations. They work with nearly 3,000 business locations in 43 states. And this was the tipping point in the decision for the Hollywood Raw.
So we knew that growing Hollywood Raw meant partnering with a media company that also had a full marketing arm. And that's what Herd App Marketing brings to the table. So Herd App Marketing is not just SEO. They are a full service marketing agency with literally every service under one roof. There is nothing outsourced to partners like a lot of the other big agencies do. And we mean everything: social media marketing, web design, content marketing, video production, branding, creative, SEO, SEM, local SEO, all the SE whatevers. They have the team in-house to meet your needs and ours.
Yeah, that's why you see our TikTok blowing up. We are getting ready to launch a whole new website, and they are the power behind the news stories that we found on our website. They literally do it all for us, and they can do the same for you. So if you have a company that needs more customers or know somebody who needs new customers, you know by now that the internet is where you're going to find them. And Herd App Marketing is the company that will get you found more often than your competition. Online at herdappmarketing.com. That's H-U-R-R-D-A-T marketing.com. Or give them a call at 877-662-4443.
We're backstage at Sweet Stock. We're here with Brian McFadden. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? Dex, good to see you. You guys, this is legit.
Yeah, we got
you're the you're the only ones here at Sweet Stock in Nebraska. Well, we're not technically in Iowa. That has a trailer.
Yeah.
You guys are like the celebs.
Good trailer.
So I went up to one of your guys. I was like, it's in my rider. I'm supposed to get white clothes.
Yeah.
And y'all have alcohol, so I was like,
we got alcohol, the trailer, we got everything.
I start getting the shakes at 4:30. It's 4:42. Yeah. So thanks for like helping me out. I appreciate
of course,
y'all.
Dude, we're here for you.
It's interesting, man. So what's going on with you? Obviously, this has got to be pretty cool. There's tons of, you know, groups that you kind of grew up with, that you started with in your, when you started the entertainment industry.
So when
with your career.
Yeah, I mean, I started on radio, and then I got into TV, doing MTV,
yeah,
TRL and all that stuff. And I came up with all these guys that are here. Except for like CNC Music Factory, but I grew up watching them. I mean, I learned how to dance. I had dookies and hammer pants and like just standing in front of like downtown Julie Brown, and my sister would come in. She's like, oh, when are you going to be done in here? Because the whole entire like floor would shake. So
yeah.
I was trying to like learn how to, you can hear right now, fours, take a breath and go for yours.
Who are you most excited to see when you're here?
Because
you know all these
Chris,
people.
Chris, so. I think Chris, Mark McGrath, Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC, because we all used to all hang out, you know, and like Chris was like, NSYNC were like brothers. I mean, I felt like sometimes I was like the sixth member of like NSYNC. And then Mark, I've known Mark since I was a DJ. So like seeing him, and he's like,
can we say he's the nicest guy in like
sweetheart
the entire entertainment industry,
and one of the best historians of music. I mean, the stuff he knows about music is just incredible.
And you guys worked on Extra together, yeah?
Yeah. So Mark was hosting Extra, and I was doing Extra Weekends. But we crossed paths then. But it was weird because he used to always say to me, I was like, there's no way. So what you want to do? And he's like, man, you know how he talks.
Yeah.
Kind of grovelly voice. He's like, man, I've always wanted to be a host. I've always wanted to do what you're doing. I was like, you're a rock star. Like, you've got the creme de la creme of, like, all jobs. This is, I want to be you. Yeah. Let's switch for, like, a week. And I just remember, like, every time we hung out, I was just like, can you just call my sister?
Just
let her know you're saying. And you were talking about he's such a great historian. He's like, didn't he win like Celebrity Jeopardy?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, he won Celebrity Jeopardy. But the guy's, it's like a USC grad, right?
It's crazy because he's been on Stern, and I think he has like competitions when he would go against like Hank the Drunken Dwarf or something. You can't, yeah, but it was just insane the amount of knowledge. I got a question for you. When you were doing MTV, who was the first artist that you really start to, like, you have all these relationships with these artists, but who's
love
one,
this question.
But who was the first person you really start to have like a bond with?
Okay, so my first interview ever was with Snoop Dogg.
That's dope.
And I was scared out of my mind. So I came from K-Rock Radio with Howard Stern.
Yeah.
In New York, so I'm this baby, like, VJ with Frosted Tips, and I know rock music and country. I grew up in Nebraska, so I grew up country kid. And then, of course, I liked hip-hop because I was a white kid from the Midwest. So I was like, who didn't love hip-hop?
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to get my funk on. no, I never said that to Snoop. So they're like, they didn't tell me. They wanted to throw me to the wolves, right? So they're like, they weren't going to tell me who was going to be on. So it was Snoop Dogg and the Eastsiders. And Snoop Dogg comes in. He's all cripped out, man. He's like wearing blue. Like, Snoop Dogg, man. I was so scared because a couple years prior, he was just acquitted of murder. I'm like, I just hope I don't say anything wrong. He's going to kill me. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
It was Snoop.
Wait. They didn't give you any time to prep?
No, they gave me an hour and a half to prep. But the reason why is because Snoop Dogg is notoriously late. So he comes in, and I remember Jane Sangster was the president of MTV at the time, and she's like, so excited, we're pulling for you, kid. And I'm like, it's my first interview, you're just throwing me to Snoop Dogg? I know nothing about Snoop Dogg other than Snoop Dogg,
yeah.
You know? Like, I'm this cool. So he comes in, he's got blunts in his ears.
Of
takes
course.
One out, puts it in his pocket, and he's like, literally. So in my IFB, we're in the studio. Lily Neumeier, who is such a big wig now at MTV, she was my go-to producer. She goes, Brian, and she's from Argentina. She said, Brian, they're telling me you should ask Snoop to take the joint out of his ear. So I was like, oh, man. Now beads of sweat is coming down my
yeah.
face. And I'm like, how do I ask Snoop Dogg?
Like, can I have it?
I go, hey. So I go, before we start, is it possible that you could just remove that? The joint that you have, I didn't see the other one. It takes it out and puts it in the other ear. And all of a sudden, you could hear Lily go, thank you. And you could hear all the laughter coming from the control room. I'm like, you guys are doing this on purpose. And then he's just like, oh, we good? And I'm like, yeah, we're good. I couldn't have been even more wider. And then he's like, it's good to see young cast like yourself coming up. And I'm like, thank you, Snoop. I really. And ever since then, we'll come back in. And he's like, I don't have it in my ear, you know? But. Yeah, that was like one, but as far as bonding's concerned,
like yeah, because you continue to have all these relationships. Who's the one like? Because you are a fan of these people, and then all of a sudden you kind of like, yeah, I'm a fan of you, but I'm also a friend now. But who was the first one? Like, you got their number, you start to hang out with, you start to.
I think the guys from NSYNC.
That's pretty
honestly. Yeah, it was because they were like the Beatles at the time.
Yeah,
and I'd never seen superstardom like that before. I grew up watching these reruns called Brady Bunch, and I remember like. They had like this one episode where like it was like Johnny Bravo or whoever it was, like Greg Brady.
Yeah,
was.
Yeah.
And I, watching this with my mom and like seeing what superstardom was like, fans sneaking into an elevator. And when I was hanging out with the guys from NSYNC, I would go to their hotels and they all stay on the same floor. And these girls would literally do whatever they could just to get a glimpse of these guys and sneak up into like their hotel rooms. And I'm like, they're with me. These girls are like, oh my God, oh my God. They didn't know what to do or say because when they saw you, you were synonymous with screams because you did TRL.
Sure.
And so when they saw you, there was never any conversation. It was always like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And they would scream until like you would leave. And I'm going, that sucked. It was the longest elevator ride, but getting in. But those guys were the epitome of cool. They were super humble. I liked them because they remind me of the Midwest. I grew up in Nebraska, so. These guys were, they all came from like, they had different backgrounds. You had Joey from Brooklyn. You got CK from Orlando and Lance from Mississippi.
Yeah.
Just good old boys, man. It was just a lot of fun.
I always feel like for someone like you, it's like you guys kind of came up together. Like mm-hmm. they were just rising. I have that relationship with a few celebrities because like someone for me was like Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart, no paparazzi was going for Kevin Hart. And then all of a sudden I was the only one going for Kevin Hart. Then Kevin Hart starts to get bigger and then he still gives me the interview. And I just feel like we have that bond. Like it's like so now when
That's
you
such
see Chris.
A great question, man.
Yeah. So now it's like when you see Chris, it's like, man, we have that bond. Like we came up together. And then part of it's like you were part of the reason of his success. Like you made him look good.
We tell stories and you know this.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You guys know this. You've been around celebrities for the longest time, but we tell stories that we can only tell each other.
Yeah,
and it feels good. I was like, man, I can't because if I say it around like one of my buddies,
well,
or
no
just
one else can relate to it.
They
right?
can't relate to it, and then they're like, wow, what a douchebag! He's still reliving his glory years of Frosted Tips and MTV. But shit the ride over here. We talked to we were talking about like I can't even tell the story because. Yeah, I wish I could tell you the story. I can't tell you. But we
feel like it's good.
It's so good. He goes, "Did I have my clothes on?" I'm like, That's all I can say.
That's so good. What do you look back on as like your fondest like thing about MTV, whether it's Spring Break or TRL or Dex, a moment on TRL?
I got to meet Bono from U2.
That's cool.
And it was the coolest thing. We were in Cannes, of all places, right? There's two people I wanted to meet. One was Bono, and I got to meet the other one. That was Robin Williams. And the only time I ever cried on the air when he died. We were in Cannes for a party, and then we went to Venice. But Cannes was like some AMFAR event that we went to, which was really cool. And then this fake prince, like, not Prince, Prince, the artist, Prince, like this fake prince, like, threw this big party in Cannes, and we were all at it. Like, it was the creme de la creme of, like, celebrities were there, and I'm there. I'm like, this is crazy. So Bono was with the president of the United States, former president of the United States, Bill Clinton, and Chris Tucker, and they all went to Africa for like this AIDS event, and Bono wanted to come over. He came over to me. Bono himself came to me and was like, "I'm Bono." I'm like about to cry.
I know
who you are. And he goes, I just want to say I would love to come on your show and talk about like my week with President Clinton and Chris Tucker. And I was like, I don't remember. This is the true story. I don't remember exactly what he was saying because all I kept looking at him going, you're motherfucking Bono. You're Bono.
Yeah.
And so this is back in the day. Like, we all had, like, digital cameras, but we didn't use our digital cameras because what were we going to upload it to? Your computer?
Yeah.
So we just carried our yellow, like, disposable cameras. So me and Nikki, I was dating Nikki Hilton at the time. So I said, I was dating
Nikki Hilton. That's pretty dope.
That's who I was there with. And I said, if you get me next to Bono, just take a bunch of pictures. So there's me trying to look smart, talking to Bono. I got my arms crossed, and I'm like looking at him. I'm like, I still have no idea what we talked about. All I remember is that I got him on TRL.
So
Bono could have walked to the studios and be like, I want to be on, and we'd been like, Please come in.
Do you feel like that was the moment you're like, fuck, I've made it. Like, I've, like, made it in my career when Bono's coming up to introduce himself to me.
Yeah, that and, like, when I'm at the grocery store with my son when Dane was, like, 8 or 9 and like, this lady comes up to me and she goes, and I thought it was kind of funny. It was cute. But it made me feel really old. And she goes, I grew up watching your dad. And she looked like she was, like, 20 years older than me. And she's like, I grew up watching your dad. And he goes, you're so old, Dad. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, God.
Were you crushing it with women at that time? Or were you dating? Or were you, because were people going nuts for you, like, to go for NSYNC?
Because prior to that, I was busy, like, being a DJ. I was on the radio, and I didn't have really a social life. So when I got to MTV, I was like, I mean, I wouldn't say that I didn't have fun. It was a great time. That's how Dane was created. It was a weekend of bliss. Then I got the phone call, like, a month later, and I'm like, you want to move in?
Wow.
And it was like 2 months later. And
so you just,
we got to know each other like through going through a pregnancy. Yeah.
Sheesh.
But it turned out to be like the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life. And
wow.
Her too.
I
mean,
and then what was it like from before MTV, then you're on MTV, like just your recognition level? Did you just walk down the street and people are going crazy?
MTV was, I mean, you talk about the apex of, yeah, it was pretty nuts. I would say, like, even coming back home to Nebraska, Christmas time, second year to the third year, I went to the mall thinking I could go Christmas shopping because that's really the only time I had. And they had to shut down part of the mall.
Wow.
And I remember being holed up in a Radio Shack, and the guy's like, you got to leave, man. And I'm like, I don't know where to go.
Yeah.
And my frosted tips were, like, tight. Like, I thought it was so cool. Then they took me the back, and then all the kids found out where I was back there, and they had security. Like, yeah, it was pretty,
that's nuts.
Who was the most uncomfortable interview you had for MTV?
Oh my god, that's a good question too. I like this show. Yeah, now you want to be cool. I'm gonna put out some of you mother hummers on blast. I don't know if they were uncomfortable.
Not being a dick, but it was like, it's just
we've all had uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going the way you want it to be. Maybe it was just certain weird
vibe.
Somebody,
I won't even say their names. I remember somebody, I remember doing radio, and somebody was like, was touring Chemical Brothers. They were trying to fall asleep on the show. They had their heads down. Yeah. Yeah. You know,
and you're just like, just give me 5 minutes.
I kicked
guys.
Him out of the studio.
Oh, really?
I thought it was cool.
And that was at K-Rock.
Yeah.
Because at K-Rock, you were.
I was altar boy on the
K-Rock. So it was because Stern was at the corner at the end of the hall, and then Booker and like you guys was just
me,
right.
Booker and Kane and
so you are right across from like the Howard Stern green room.
Yeah. It was great because I would sit where Robin would sit to put her makeup on.
Yeah,
I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah,
and that's really where I got my bones because I would do the night show with Kane as altar boy.
Yeah,
that was my name on the radio was altar boy, and then I would do the overnight. Just so I could learn how to do this.
Yeah.
And it was like, I would do like double shifts. So I would do 6 to 10, have to produce this show. Like I worked for 4 hours prior to that. So like from 2 to 6 a.m. So 2 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Yeah.
No social life. But I was making money. I was like 22. And I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
You know, and then MTV happened.
And but how did you get MTV? Did they see you? They're like, oh, it's a good looking guy. He's young. He'd be good. But how did that happen?
Another great question. I was doing a weekend shift on K-Rock, and this woman named Tara Flanagan uh-huh. yeah. was a scout for VH1. So
she's
like,
watching. Hey,
yeah. So Tara, like, she literally got my start because she saw my picture on the K-Rock website. Thank God for Al Gore and the internet.
Yeah.
He invented the internet, right? So this was like 1998, and but Tara Flanagan heard the show, and she's like, I looked your picture, like looked you up. You look like a baby, and I was like, ah, thanks. You know, she's like, I work for VH1, but I think you'd be great for MTV, and I didn't think anything would happen with that. She called up the studio line, or just like the hotline, or not the hotline, but the request line. And I just didn't think anything was going to happen with that. So like a couple months later, I go home. I couldn't afford a cell phone. I was living in New York. And this is like, you know, it was pagers or a big old flip phone, you know, the brick. So I went home to my answering machine and I had like 2 messages. One wasn't my girlfriend. It was Kane. Like doing a Beavis and Butthead impression. He's like, so like, when are you coming in? You know? And I'm like, I don't know. So I'm like talking to the machine. And the other one was from Rod Asa saying, Rod Asa from MTV. And he goes, I'm Rod Asa from MTV. I'm calling for Altar Boy. I'm not quite sure if this is your name. He goes, it's really uncomfortable saying your name. Please give me a call back. I am a director of talent at MTV. So I called him back and he said, how would you like to come in and audition for a game show called Web Riot?
Web Riot, yeah.
It was the first interactive game show on MTV. So I did it.
Yeah.
And, so cool. I did the pilot for it, called all my friends. I'm like, I'm going to be on MTV. And they're like, really, when? And I go, soon. I just did a pilot. I didn't realize that you don't get picked up.
Yeah.
You do the pilot. So I got a phone call in 1999. It was like July of 99. And it was from Rod saying, got good news, got bad news. Good news is the pilot got picked up. And I was like, oh, my God, this is great. So we're going to start soon. The show begins in October. The bad news is you're not going to be the host. And I was like, Amit Zappa.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah,
such
sense.
A great guy,
he was
right?
Great, yeah.
So he and I'm like, why is this good news and bad news? Like, why would you even tell me this? Like, I was about to cry. And I was like, my friends think I'm a liar. I was going to be on MTV. And he goes, but we have some other news for you. We want you to come in to read for Jane Sangster and Judy McGrath for the new position at MTV News. Oh, and I was like, nice. You mean like 10 to the hour every hour? And they're like, yes.
Very cool.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is great. Yeah. So the next day I went in and auditioned for it and I got it.
That's so cool.
And I was like, hi, I'm Brian McFadden with MTV News. That's the news for now. Stay tuned for more news at 10 of the hour, every hour, right here on MTV.
Oh, that was so great.
I thought it was like the cool, I practiced that like with my frosted tips every day. And I'm like, and I was trying to be like Kurt Loder because he was always so serious.
Monitor, yeah.
And I was like, right here on MTV.
Yeah.
Like, I would never have my eyebrow.
That's so weird.
And it was like the weirdest thing ever. And I'm like, this is the coolest gig you could ever have. I just sit in this chair.
So when you're reporting MTV News, did you have to actually write the script, or did you? Oh, you had to write the script.
I had to learn a copy. I was like, I'm not a journalist.
Oh, they didn't just give it to you?
No, so they would give you the story, but you had to write the script.
Oh,
so they tell you like what you're doing. So
you had to 45 seconds?
Voice? My voice, yeah.
Gotcha.
Which was great, but it was a lot of like bro humor and like a lot of like frat humor.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I remember like they had this guy named Richard, God, what was his name? Rick something. Oh, he's such a great guy, but he was like hardcore like journalist. He was hard news guy, and he's just like, I can't work with them, you know. He was so honest with me, and I was like, I go, I'm not I go, I'm just not that guy. And I remember they were going, let them, you know, let him, you know, Lily was my, Lily Neumeier again. She's amazing. She's from Argentina. She's like, let him speak in his own voice. And I was like, yeah, let me speak my own voice.
That's more authentic that way.
Rick Jacobson is his name. He was a really talented guy. Yeah, he was awesome. But I remember him, like, he's just like, no Kurt Loder.
Dude, I feel like we could keep you all here.
Oh, my God, yeah. But thank you for having me on.
No, thanks for coming on.
Great,
stopping
dude.
By.
You guys are awesome.
This is great, man. I appreciate it.
A Huda Media Production.